Hi everyone, this is Christopher, owner of Jonja.net and one of the hosts of the Time Shifters podcast. As some of you may know, Jonja.net started out as a forum for discussions of sci-fi, horror, and fantasy television and films. The forums were once buzzing with reviews and comments about the latest episodes of everyone's favorite programs and the latest big blockbuster films. Over the years, social media, the increased use of the DVR, and its time shifting, has taken its toll on the old forums, and they have largely fallen silent. So, not to let a perfectly good website go to waste, I am moving some of the focus of the website and its podcast stream to something that I've grown to enjoy and appreciate, the independent genre film. You'll be hearing and seeing a lot of news, reviews, and interviews from some of the creative minds of this often ignored and sometimes maligned subset of sci-fi, horror, and fantasy movie making. Low budgets and store-bought equipment are not hindrances when handled by inventive people with a dream, a desire, and a passion. I hope you'll enjoy what Jonja.net and Time Shifters will be bringing you, and I hope that you will be encouraged to seek some of these films out for yourself. This is Christopher with the Time Shifters podcast. On the other end of this Skype line, I have the director, the co-writer, and one of the producers of a new film coming out called The Expedition. This is, right now, all we have is a little teaser to give us a hint of what this thing is about. So I had to talk to this guy and get more information. Mr. Adam Spinks, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, like I said, we just have a teaser on this, but I don't think I'm giving any spoilers away that this looks like quite the undertaking as far as an independent film goes.
That's one way of saying it. It was a very ambitious undertaking. Myself and the lead producer and also actor in the film, so Ben Lloyd Holmes, so we got together and he'd had this idea and he asked me if I wanted to be a part of it, and he pitched it to me. And it was such an ambitious film that I think we both agreed that we had to do it and we had to find a way to do it. And, we're now, I think, a year and a half after we started talking about it, and the film is in final stages post, just getting ready for release now.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I think this would be a great segue then for me to ask you to give us a little brief of what this film is about.
The Expedition is a found footage movie where a group of researchers led by a well-respected professor journey into the Amazon rainforest on a mission to protect vulnerable and endangered species from the increase in logging there. On their studies, they start to experience ever stranger things as they move deeper and deeper into the jungle. Their superstitious guides abandon them, leaving them alone out there, and they end up coming face to face with an apex predator straight out of the fossil record. So I guess it was always pitched to me as nature's greatest secret is revealed. So that's what I think makes the film so exciting.
But I guess you could say we are kind of talking dinosaur, huh?
We are talking dinosaurs. Yeah. And what was fantastic about this was that it was a practical dinosaur effect that you're seeing in any of these clips. We wanted to do everything real. We wanted to do as much in the camera as possible. So we had a lot of conversations with the Creature Studio, and we had him built for us. And then obviously we've also used some CGI effects on the top of that as well. Mm-hmm. So just to enhance the creature and also just to, enhance the creature, really, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I love the fact that you decided to go with a practical effect on the dinosaur rather than just doing all, animated CGI add-in and post and that sort of thing. It adds so much. I think you get so much of a different reaction from the actors when they actually have something in front of them and not some guy with a blue tennis ball or something and, look scared from the director.
I mean, I think that for me was what sort of sold it, because I was able to work with the actors on the set and to work with this creature on set. And, so they were performing and acting with him. Mm-hmm. And it just made it so much more of a, So acting always requires, I think, that everybody has to make a suspension of disbelief and in order to believe that everything that's happening is real. But so having a practical creature on set really meant that our actors could get their teeth into the scene and actually, you know, interact with this creature. Because he, and he's huge. He's 16 feet high and 20 feet long or something like that. So, you know, I don't think, in terms of when he's running at you, you don't, as you said, you know, you don't have to pretend there is a T-Rex chasing you. And I think that made for a really truthful set of performances from our main actors. And also, in terms of filmmaking, I think it allowed us to actually achieve more, because we didn't have to shoot the film in a certain way to accommodate the eventual adding of CGI. But also, I guess I couldn't find that many examples of CGI done very, very, very well on a modest budget. And I don't know if it's the same for you, but whenever I watch a film and the effects aren't brilliant, it instantly removes me from the story. And with The Expedition, we knew we had a unique opportunity to make an incredibly realistic dinosaur effect and to really team that with a cast of great, great actors and characters who could really populate the film and lift it off the page into something that could be so much more. And having just watched... Having just watched it about an hour ago, I finished watching it. I think everyone in the film should just be massively proud of the results. You know.
Oh, fantastic! So it's an animatronic prop then, this dinosaur?
So it takes, I guess it takes the technology of the raptors that were done for Jurassic Park in '93. It sort of takes that and updates it to a new level. So, for example, we had creature performers that worked with the creature. So he's not 100% animatronic. He does have animatronic elements, but I would say it's more accurate to, you know, to call it a performance from an actor there.
So then it makes it actually even a little easier than to actually do the interaction with the, in real time, instead of having to necessarily plan everything out, down to the letter.
You know, so we still had to plan everything down to the absolute letter, because when you're working with something of that size on set, there are so many unknowns, and you know it was important that you know every take was thought out and everything was kind of planned, because it's big, and especially from a safety point of view, you know, because you've got something like that rattling around on set with you,
right?
You know, and it's just really important to get the safety aspects right, and especially because some of our biggest creature scenes, especially early in the film, take place at night. So that added another element to it. So not only are we running around with a full-size T-Rex, we're running around at night with a full-size T-Rex.
right.
And it was an absolutely fantastic experience. There's something so brilliant about shooting at night. You know, it's when it's just you guys and, you know, just I think we probably shot nights for close to a week, and for a lot of those nights it was just our actors in a tent, and then obviously this big reveal, which I can't say too much about, because we don't want to spoil that, but it was a very, very amazing experience to be a part of, because you just had this monster, you know, it was just off camera, I could see him, the whole crew could see him, and it was just so wonderful to then look at the monitors and see it come to life in front of us like that. It's just an absolutely wonderful experience to shoot at night, especially with a dinosaur, of course.
Oh, especially with a anytime you can have a dinosaur. I think more films need dinosaurs is what my opinion is.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, you did mention, you just said, you know, modest budget. I know finding funding for any film can be tricky, much less one outside of the normal studio aspects or studio umbrellas. So was it challenging finding the funding? Can I ask about how big your budget was for the film?
Our budget wasn't enormous. You know, I'd say it was very modest in terms of what this film is. You know, so films like this are normally left to big sort of studios with multi-million pound budgets. And
right. And
we wanted to, you know, we wanted to take that concept and say, actually, why can't this be possible for an independent filmmaker? So why can't something of this scale be attempted? And ultimately, why can't we succeed? And I think that was our whole mantra. It was, how far can we push what's been done before, how far can we push what no one's done before? And I think that that aspect ran through the production. We raised our finances through private funding. It was just an absolutely incredible experience, because so many people would look you in the face and you'd say, hi, you know, so my name's da-da-da. I'd really like to be a part of helping me to make a dinosaur movie. And they would look at you like, excuse me, you're going to do a what? And then, you know, so gradually, you know, so you would, you know, so you would convince these guys, look, here's how I'm going to do this part. Here's how I'm going to do that part. And here's how we can realistically do this. You know, but so as my co-producer Ben always says, he said, you know, no matter how much someone respects you as a filmmaker and how much they like you as a person, if you say to someone, I'm going to make a dinosaur movie independently, they do look at you like you're a touch mad. yeah. But, you know, here we are, you know, all this time later with a fantastic movie ready to come out of the gates.
Yeah, well, you guys must you must be like, you know, what's the old saying, selling ice cubes to Eskimos, because first of all, the idea of trying to pull together funding for an independent film, and then to try to do it in sort of a sci-fi genre or an adventure genre, and then throw in and we're going to do an animatronic dinosaur and everything. I think you used the word ambitious. I think you should underline and bold that.
Underline and bold, maybe putting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but then it sort of became apparent that we could achieve, you know, so we could achieve everything if we were to approach it right. And we just simply said, I've never seen this happen in a found footage movie before. I've never seen this happen in a found footage movie before. And then we go out and look for locations, you know, and we would be like, it would be really cool to do something like that. And we ended up finding beautiful locations that were really readily accessible and you know, that we could, you know, that we could do this stuff in. And I don't view found footage in the same way that some people would view found footage. I think found footage is more accurately called first person storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be an incredible sort of tool if used in the right way, because the audience has one viewpoint. And so whether that viewpoint is, you know, so say you've got a team of researchers that are trying to cross a river and the water comes up to their waist, you know, then so how exciting will that be to watch through the eyes of a camera that's being taken on that journey? And you know, and I think if it's used properly, it can really put us as an audience in the position of those characters and to make us feel that we're there to actually to help us suspend disbelief. I sometimes think where it fails is when it's used to hide things, or you get the sense that lots of fast cuts have been used, you know, to cover something up or to hide something in the shadows. And with the expedition, we wanted to bring the dinosaur into daylight as soon as possible. And we wanted to say, look, here it is. Here's everything. We're not hiding anything. Actually, this is, you know, this is an amazing adventure movie, you know, so filled with dinosaurs and fantastical things, but it just happens and it happens to be told through a first person story point of view. And that was really exciting, to take that attitude into making the film, is to say, how can we push this? How can we take this to the next level? And that was just so awesome to have, you know, to have gone through that process.
I will agree with you that the found footage, if done right, can be an exciting way to tell a story.
Yeah.
I think where it always fails for me is if you don't give me a decent explanation as to why people are always running a camera.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that was something that when we were writing the script, you know, it's the first thing that went up on the board, you know. It was, why is he still filming? You know, because most people would clock a 20-foot dino or whatever it is and just to turn the camera off and start running.
Exactly.
Think you want to have a film. So we've made our camera guy, I guess, is a documentarian. He is actually there as a filmmaker. And he's there with a presenter played by Sarah Mack, plays our presenter called Michelle. And our cameraman's played by a brilliant actor called Daniel Caron. And for us, it was really key about making sure, you know, he's a professional cameraman, and he he essentially thinks that he has the coolest job in the world. So he continues to film things. But also it was really important for us that as the film moves forward, it becomes less purposeful filming and more a kind of almost as an outlet for his character to cling on to the normal.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think worked brilliantly in the Blair Witch Project. You know, like when they continue to address how things were being filmed or why they were being filmed in that film. It always seemed to come back to, because that's all we've got left to link us to being normal before we go mad. And I think there's an element of that in this, is that he continues to film things because that's his normal. And if he clings on to that, then perhaps it saves him from facing, I guess, the reality of how dangerous it is.
Hey, let me jump back a little bit. You were mentioned that you found some really great locations. So you telling me you didn't really go to the Amazon?
No, we did not go to the rainforest. I can't tell you where we went to because it will spoil the surprises.
Okay.
But we did not go to the Amazon, no. We found some amazing places that were very rich landscapes that had a variety of flora and fauna. And then to add that into the mix, we also had some live animals join us on set for a few days with a brilliant company here in the UK called Animal Zone UK.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were able to bring some creatures from the Amazon into our film that way as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, anyone that's got a problem with creepy crawlies, snakes, creepy crawlies, you may be in for some crouch behind the sofa moments. But isn't that what every great adventure is about? You know, Indiana.
Oh, exactly. Snakes, you can't.
You know, and he hates snakes, and then he's in a pit with them. You know, it's really important in an adventure movie to feel like we've been on an adventure and seen amazing things and to go traveling and to really feel as an audience that we've immersed ourselves in that world. Mm-hmm. So it was important to me that we got some snakes, we got some bugs, we got some monkeys, just to really feel like this is the Amazon, this is real, this is happening. And all these things that you see on the screen are supposed to be there. And I think that it was just absolutely fantastic to work with animals. You know, everyone says you should not work with animals. But our experience on this was vastly different. You know, I think you shouldn't work with animals if you're not planned very well. In order to work with animals, you must have a plan and you must be ready to stick to it. But then crucially, you must also have a plan so that you can deviate from the plan, because, animals are unpredictable. But our experience working with Animal Zone was just phenomenal. You know, he put everyone so at ease with these animals. He was at ease with them. He understood the filmmaking process. He understood actors, and then our actors then understood the animals. And it was just a really happy few days, you know, when he was with us. And I think once people see the film, I think if anyone's seen any clips online, you do see a nice big bug, which was courtesy of Animal Zone. He's definitely a creepy critter. It was just extraordinary to watch that happen and to really be a part of something like that and to work with animals, you know, up close and personal like that.
I'm amazed at the levels of challenges that you put on yourself for this film.
it would be incredibly easy, you know, to say, let's do a dinosaur movie. Let's shoot everything at night and then we'll do some CGI, you know, we'll shoot some plates and we'll do some CGI and it'll be okay. You know, but like our attitude, you know, sort of Ben is always pushing for what can be better and how can we do this bigger and how can we do this, you know, how can we do this bigger and better? And also, you know, how can we tell a great story? And I think sort of from the initial meeting, it was like, okay, we don't want to do what anyone else would ever settle to do. You know, we wanted to make a film that no one else would dare to make. And so at every possible opportunity, we said, you know, so let's do an underwater scene. You know, so let's do this. You know, so let's do that. Because every time the opportunity arose itself, you know, and yes, it has to work for the story and always for the characters. You know, but I think... You know, once we were able to you know, once we were able to see that this really was going to work, you know, and that this was possible, you know, then really, yeah, the sky's the limit. Once you've got the camera rolling, you know, and you've got these locations, and you've got a team of people like we had for Expedition, anything's possible. And I think that's important to say to independent filmmakers: anything is possible. You don't have to hide behind things anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is something that, and it's something that I've discovered. The more independent filmmakers I meet and the people behind these films, so much of it is just, it's like when you tell a kid they can't do something, they want to do it.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of that mentality that, you know, Hollywood or, you know, the big budget studios say that, you know, only we could do this. And it's the independent filmmakers then taking that as a challenge and going, oh yeah, well, let's see about that.
Exactly. You know, so Hollywood does not own CGI anymore.
You know, right.
You know, there was a fantastic movie that came out of the UK in 2010 called Monsters. And it was directed by a guy called Gareth Edwards, who is now doing the reboot for Godzilla.
Right.
And he made this film with a little London company called Vertigo Pictures. And he did all the special effects himself. And he did them on off-the-shelf software.
Right.
And it's one of the most extraordinary British pieces of sci-fi that's ever been made, I think, anyway. And it was a real inspiration for me. I come out of uni probably a year and a half previous to that, and then I went to the cinema to see this because so many of my friends were raving about it. And so as a filmmaker, I'd done a lot of reading about this film before I'd gone to see it. And I was absolutely stunned by what he achieved. He did the visual effects on his laptop using After Effects, you know, and using a program called Element 3D, which you can get in PC World here, you know? So, and it was fantastic. It was photoreal, you know, and it wasn't like I was watching a film waiting for a bad special effect.
Right.
Watching the film and really getting immersed in the story because the effects were seamless and beautiful. And he'd really gone to the trouble to craft a great movie for these effects to sit in and around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when I think I got the idea that, you know, okay, I don't have to work in Hollywood to do great effects anymore. You know, I just need to find, an artist or a team of artists. Also, I've learned myself how to do some stuff. You know, I need to find a team of people like this because there must be others out there. You know, so who can help make these amazing movies. And then obviously I met Ben and yes, we had a chat about making the Expedition, you know, and he's one of the most extraordinary producers I've ever worked with. His passion and dedication and enthusiasm after a 23-24 hour day, is just unparalleled, you know, and he will never settle for something. He always pushes that one step next. Okay, you know, that was an amazing take. How about a fantastic take, you know? And and the amount of times, I think the amount of times that a lot of people would have turned back during the making of this movie and said, we can't do it, is probably a couple of hundred, you know, and here we are saying, actually, we pushed through each of our breaking points over and over again. And at the other end of this amazing journey, we've got a film that I think is going to blow people's minds.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it. I was already looking forward to it. And now after speaking with you, it's just, you know, this cannot come out soon enough.
Yeah. We are still waiting on final confirmation on release dates. I believe we are, as it's referred to, we are sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's at the moment. So once we have an update, it will be shared the world over, because we're very excited to show everyone. You know, it's been so much work, and a few, you know, the only people that I know that have seen it are myself, Ben, anyone that worked on the post-production, and you know, a very limited number of friends and family, I believe, have seen clips, but really only just what's gone online. So, you know, that's how little's known about the film, which we've sort of done on purpose. You know, we I'm very aware that films tell the audience just about everything about them before they are released now. And, you know, and I'm a bit old school in that I preferred things. I preferred to have something left for me when I went to the theatre to be thrilled by. And so that's why we've tried to be a little bit vague about Expedition. In the you know, we want the audience to just, you know, come into the theatre and just, you know, just go on that adventure, you know, and don't be thinking, oh, this bit was in the trailer, you know, oh, this bit was, oh, I've heard about this on the synopsis online, or I've seen, yeah, you know, I just think here's the film. I really just want audiences to go in and, you know, just really love the adventure that they're taking on during the film.
The thing I hate most, and I've seen some trailers do it, where they'll throw in, you know, the funniest line of the movie or the biggest action scene, it'll be in the trailer. And then, yeah, you feel like, well, what's the point of me going to the film? You don't realize it. You go to the film and then you find out, oh, well, all the good bits were in the trailer.
That's an incredibly frustrating experience, isn't it? And
yeah, it is. And he's like, wow, I could have saved some money and just
watched the trailer five times.
Exactly.
For review. Yeah.
Well, Adam, I want to thank you so much for telling me about the film. And I can't tell – yeah, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully it gets a release sooner than later. Hopefully it makes it across to this side of the pond here in the States.
It should make it across to you guys this year, hopefully late summer. You know, so once the I's have been dotted and our T's have been crossed, then we'll have a really sort of big update for you guys. Our next appearance is actually in the UK. We are going to MCM London Comic Con this May 23rd, 24th, 25th, I believe. I'm not 100% sure exactly what we are showing there, but we may be premiering some brand new footage there. And we may be taking our Amazonian critters with us. So,
oh, fantastic.
It should be brilliant. We actually showed our first piece of footage at the MCM in Birmingham, UK, back in October, in front of a sold-out crowd. So that was fantastic. So it's going to be awesome to go back and hook up with the MCM guys again. And we're just looking at whether we can get an appearance in over in the USA. So it would be amazing to come over there, amazing to show you guys the film. We're hoping to have a trailer out shortly. Yeah, but watch, you know, watch the website, which is www.expeditionfootage.com, where we are constantly premiering new things and new footage and new shots. And I really hope everyone loves the film when it's out.
Okay, excellent. I will have all the links and information and dates in the show notes to this, so anyone can just with a simple click head over and keep track of everything. And of course, any news that that you have and that I hear, I will share with our listeners and readers. So again, just thank you very much for telling me about the film, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Christopher, it's been a genuine pleasure, and I can't wait to talk to you again.